The two 2020 presidential nominees are very familiar to the American public, and that would have been the case even if they weren't in their current roles. President Trump was a television star and ubiquitous presence as an interview subject on national programs. Joe Biden was President Obama's vice president and a U.S. senator for decades before that. When Jimmy Carter started running for president, hoping to become the Democratic nominee in 1976, he was the governor of Georgia, not one of the country's more populous or influential states. But Carter ended up winning the nomination and then the general election. His presidency is probably best remembered for the Iran hostage situation and a gas shortage, and his post-presidency has been praised for his passion and activism on behalf of a number of causes. In the new book, His Very Best, Jimmy Carter: A Life, best-selling author Jonathan Alter covers Carter's early days growing up on a farm all the way to the present, and he's with me. So, Jonathan, has Jimmy Carter had the most impressive post-presidency the U.S. has ever seen?
He's clearly one of the best. I think it's probably down to Jimmy Carter and John Quincy Adams, who worked against slavery after he left the presidency. He was also a one-term president. But Carter kind of revolutionized the modern post-presidency with his work on disease eradication, democracy promotion, and peacemaking. But, you know, Steve, I actually conclude that it's a bit of a myth that he was a bad president and a great former president. I think he was a underrated president and a slightly overrated former president. And okay. The reason I say that is that when you're out of office, you just have many fewer levers of power to get things done. And he also sometimes kind of got in the way of the current occupants of the office in ways that were, difficult for them.
The time he came in, the time he ran for president as a relatively, maybe totally unknown governor from Georgia at the time, after Watergate, and he talked about how he'd never lied to the American public, and that was, of course, appealing at the time. Could Jimmy Carter have been president in any other era following the dishonesty of the Nixon era, and people were thinking, here's a fresh face, a fresh voice? How much of that had to do with his success?
Everything. I don't think he ever would have made it from obscure former governor of Georgia to the presidency if it hadn't been for Watergate. Carter benefited from Watergate and then got really hurt by Watergate. It made the president and unmade him afterward. And the reason that it unmade him is that the press corps, which I'm a proud member of, was so conditioned to thinking that the president was a crook after Johnson and Nixon and all the lying, that they just sort of assumed that Carter was motivated by the wrong things, and there had to be some scandal there. Not only do we not get a honeymoon, we didn't even get a one-night stand. And one of the very first things that Carter did was pardon all the draft dodgers from the Vietnam War, which was very unpopular. Barry Goldwater said something to the effect of it was the worst decision in the history of the American presidency, or something like that. It was a courageous decision and very typical of Carter. He repeatedly made decisions that were politically unpopular, but the right thing to do. And that was a good example of that.
Let us in on his personality a little bit. He can have a little bit of a brusque way about him, it seems at times, even behind the smile. He's obviously an extremely intelligent man. So does he have a great wit? Is he really funny? What are some things about his personality you learned?
So brusque is a really good way to describe him, especially in private. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was his national security advisor, described him as having three smiles. And I think I've spent enough time with him. I interviewed him more than a dozen times to see all three. So there was there's kind of the warm public smile, which is sometimes genuine, but a lot of times is just because that's one of his trademarks, and he has a great smile and it helped him get elected. Then there's that kind of tight-lipped smile in private where he's mad. He's not a yeller, but his icy blue eyes kind of stare at you, and he gives you this tight smile, and that's when his people knew that they were in trouble. And then there's the kind of genuine smile in private when he's heard something funny. He's not at all a stick in the mud or a sort of a pious, sanctimonious guy in private. He's very tough and also has a kind of a cutting sense of humor. And if you want, I can give you an example.
Sure, please do. Yeah.
When he was governor, his biggest critic at the paper, the biggest paper in the state, the Atlanta Constitution, was a guy named Reg Murphy. And Reg Murphy just wrote all of this very critical stuff about the governor, and he's kidnapped. So the first thing Carter says, they come in, they say, Reg Murphy's been kidnapped. And the first thing he says was, it wasn't me. And then the kidnapper releases him after two or three days. The paper pays some ransom. The guy, the kidnapper, whose name is Williams, is caught. Flash forward to when Carter is elected president in 1976. And not that long after the election, his son Chip says, Dad, what's the first thing you're going to do after you're sworn in? And without missing a beat, Carter says, pardon, Williams.
Having been a best-selling author like you have, did you get a say in what the cover looked like? Because it's this Andy Warhol image, which none of us really think of Jimmy Carter in that sort of abstract way, but it's a really fascinating piece of art. How did you feel about that being on the cover?
So that was my idea to put on the cover. And the reason that I wanted that is because Jimmy Carter went through periods of real unpopularity. I mean, during the gas crisis in 1979, when gas stations were, you know, out of gas, which wasn't Carter's fault, but he was blamed for it. You know, he was down in the 20s. He had gone as high as the 70, over 70% popularity when he first became president. By the time he left, he was not a cool guy. But in 1976, when Warhol did that silkscreen, Jimmy Carter was cool. And I'm trying to, if not make him cool again, at least remind people that there was a time when he was cool. And there's a documentary out right now called Rock and Roll President. It's all about his relationship with Bob Dylan and the Allman Brothers. They not only liked and admired Carter, but they helped make him president. And so I wanted the Warhol on the cover just to kind of remind people that there was a time when Jimmy Carter was cool.
That is Jonathan Alter, his new book, His Very Best, Jimmy Carter, A Life. Jonathan, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks a lot, Steve.